All right, so welcome to A Course in Miracles. In a spiritual journey, there has to be a movement of mind from the addiction or the standard way of thinking, which of the body in the world is linear time. We are so embedded in Monday, Tuesday, and then everybody knows the next day, then it's Thursday, everybody knows it comes after that, and then Saturday, you could fill in those gaps. No problem, you've been living your life that way. So also you look at the clock, it means instantly so much to you. A calendar, your birthday's on that month. It means so much already, right? Time. Marks. Granularity in your experience that the Course says would otherwise be eternal. Mm-hmm. That your existence is infinite.
Sorry.
That in lesson 158, time is a trick, a sleight of hand, a method that you've used in your innocent endeavor to see what it's like to be separate from the truth. What is that about? How could you be separate from love? From God? Whatever your definition of God is, doesn't matter. You said, let me try without that. See what it's like. You used the power of creation itself to do it. And you've done good. You've done good. Here you are.
You got here on time.
It's so convincing.
And that's what it's here.
It's so convincing. That's what's here.
Yeah.
The result of a creative effort.
Exactly.
The Course says, you've tried to do the impossible. Best you can. In order to do the impossible, you have to be the impossible. So it says way up in the front of the book, it says, you got clever about it. You first made a sleep. And then inside the sleep, you made up dreams. That's right.
Yeah.
And inside those dreams, they turn into nightmares.
What happens if you don't have any dreams?
Yeah. If you were able
I
to...
I don't have any dreams anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Very good. Yes. Yes. The way out... The way out is the same way you got in. The kindest way out is the same way you got in. If you wander into a forest and get lost, you will retrace your steps. This is the kindest way to you because you'll start recognizing milestones. A comfort fills your heart rather than completely lost or some random approach. Course in Miracles is written as a way that you can retrace your steps. And it calls them sick and twisted steps, okay? I mean, it's pretty hard on that you would leave love when you're seeking for more love. Hey, kid. You need to rethink that. But free to do whatever you want. We will retrace the same steps we got back in. It will start either with the end of dreaming, if you're so capable, or perhaps with a gently guided new dream. It will be a dream of the end of dreaming.
The end of dreaming.
A dream of the end of dreaming. That's forgiveness, yes.
I used to never dream at all that I remembered having horrible ones. Now, man, I think it's your fault.
She was pointing at you, by the way. Not
so I'm wondering if the dream that you're talking about in the book is the same dream he's talking about. Well, you don't dream at night. I didn't think so.
No.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. If you can still think of somebody who's not dreaming, you're dreaming. Yeah, but doesn't mean it isn't progress.
Yeah. Everything's a dream.
Or that, and remember, lesson number one. You know, nothing I see means anything.
Yeah, anything, that's right.
Yeah, and as you said, and I really like what you said on that. You said, it doesn't mean anything. that nothing that I see means anything. Say that again?
It's empty and meaningless that it's empty and meaningless.
It's empty and meaningless that it's empty and meaningless. That's number one, right? Yeah. Okay, so I just do this every once in a while in our meetings to kind of summarize where we are, right? Mm-hmm. So tonight, let's think about this time aspect and this granular marking of our lives. How old are you, everybody? Everybody think about how old you are, right? Does a number come up? It's kind of indisputable, right? Oh, you're so drunk on this time thing. Mm-hmm. That you're committed to that number as part of your identity. Right. Do you see how tight it is? We are here to bust the ego. Yeah. That number fits with nothing I see means anything. My age means nothing. Here's the rub. It actually means nothing.
Don't tell me that again.
You think it means something.
Yes.
And this book would say that something that you think it means
yeah.
is nothing. Oh. It's nothing of significance. It's but another dream. It's another dream that you're playing out perfectly. Your age. It is a dream. Time is a trick. We'll go there tonight. I'll show you where it says this. Time is a trick. A sleight of hand. A journey without.
You hear something funny? So there was a study a number of years ago, about 10 years ago.
Yes.
That, maybe longer, that took a bunch of men who were 60 years old, and they made a scene of what the 50s looked like. And they made the men, had the men living in that town. And all the men's aging things got younger and younger and younger. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's psychosomatic, huh?
Psychosomatic to age.
Seek no further than your own mind. Another lesson in the Course in Miracles. So, I'd like you to spend the next few moments. Now that we've thought about the granular slicer of time that marches on, come out of that for a moment and let's just spend a quiet moment. And I would like to have you feel your way through this word. We're not going to go for words here. We're not going to go for our usual defining it. Tonight is a little different. I want you to feel what comes up with this word. That's all. Eternity.
Eternity?
Eternity. Your hearing is very good.
He's getting younger.
Yeah, Lemire put 1950 on the wall in crayon. Eternity. What happens in your mind with this word eternity? Eternity, the eternal. Just feel that. Feel what happens to the body as you start to move your mind into eternity. Don't let your ego try to put some kind of a time frame on it. It's not a long time. Eternity is not a long time. Eternity is not a short time. Eternity means there is no time. So eternity is now. You're already there, pretending to be in time. How does it feel? You've never been outside of eternity. You've only pretended you could be outside of eternity or before eternity. Awaken into this very moment. And let the moment go to discover eternity. You can never be, and never will be, never have been, and let me say you never will be again, because that's the focus. You will never be in the future. it's very easy to understand the past is gone, but it's a little harder to recognize that the future never comes. You're in it. This is your life right now. In fact, if you can get inside this moment, you will step through the door of time into eternity. It's right now. Your whole life is lived right now. You've heard the saying, wherever you go, there you are. Whenever you go, there you are. There really isn't a future. Do you know fear? Fear is from an idea of the future. If you could somehow not have a future, you would not have fear. You'd say, here I am, this is it. Nothing left to happen bad or to happen good. Here I am.
Be here now.
Be here now. And then be here now again.
And again.
Instantaneously. You see, it's actually the truth that you're here now. The idea that you'll be at some other time, this is a fantasy. It's where chaos is grounded. That something's going to happen to you some other time. Or some other place. Because there can't be another place than where you are. It's just a dream of another place. If there's no future, there's no fear. There's just you living each minute, each moment. If there's no past, there's no guilt. Past is over. Can touch me not. One of the lessons. There's only your whole life. Your life is actually lived inside the present moment. Dreams and fantasies and nightmares are lived outside of the present moment. This is the equation. So, since we're not aware of anything but our little aspect of what is reality, we need a perspective of something. Keyword. Beyond our little scope. This is part of how you wake up from a dream of littleness. You need some perspective, some invitation to beyond. Tonight, that word's going to be eternal. Eternal means there is no time. It doesn't mean a long time. Before we jump into the reading, does anybody want to comment on your experience of eternal?
I do.
Please.
So I started off thinking exactly what you said was, eternity doesn't mean anything to me because I don't understand eternity. Mm-hmm. And I said, and eternity means a lot of time, which means if I don't understand eternity, I don't understand time either. But when you got to the last part, and I had a series of stuff in between, and when you said, how do you feel? And I, what feeling that came up, and I do feel it all the time, I felt lost.
Mm-hmm. Good.
I felt lost. I have no time, then when, where, what am I?
Yes.
And the fear that came up from that was, I don't always have moments of feeling love, and I don't know when the next moment is going to be, and that's where the fear is.
Yes. Very good. Good. Good catch, Luann. Very good catch. Because that sounds like we would harvest moments of love from the world and have good moments. Mm-hmm. Go seek them, go call them up on the phone, go drive to them.
And I know that's not what you do.
Right? But that's good, because this is busting the ego to catch its little treat for you. That there's some moment with somebody, some other time, where you're going to get your next fix. of everything that you want.
No, I don't mean somebody loving me. I mean yes. me feeling love.
Regardless whether it's coming from you at another time or coming to you at another time or place, it's exactly the same. Because our antidote to that, which is what this book is about in its discussion of love, is that the experience of love is as you give love, you receive love. Because of what you are. The reason why is because of what you are. Which you've completely denied and forgotten. The Course says, spoiler alert, you are love. You are love. Who's taken a journey we'll read about tonight into the idea of no love. Not a sin, just a crazy journey. An exploration into separation from love. Which the Course says, it's quite impossible for you to not be what you are. You'd have to do something very perverse and inventive to try to even imagine you're not what you are. And it says, if you just get still enough, you will awaken to what you are. It happens automatically. It's the I need do nothing. It's the little willingness of A Course in Miracles.
And that's where my ego gets me.
Yes?
My ego says, I don't want you to be still.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes. It even has a word to make sure you avoid that. Death. Death!
That's a word.
Don't ever go there. Don't get so still. No, get busy. Get healthy, wealthy, and wise. Yes?
One of the things that I've observed is that all the people that I've experienced who have, you know, awakened, who are like the real deal, there's a sense of stillness about them. And I think that stillness, that experience of stillness, is the word eternal describes that feeling that I experience when I'm around those people.
Nice.
And those people also have a sense of agelessness.
Nice.
You know, they don't come across like some old fart. So, yeah, you know.
I hadn't thought about it that way, but I think you're right. Mm.
Yeah. Well, so they've tapped into something.
Yes. You know the word mysticism? Mystics? Mysticism? It essentially means the seer. The mystic is a seer. And the seer sees through the present moment. Sees through the differences to the sameness, which we're invited to do in chapter 15 of this book. The Christ mind is where you become a mystic. And instead of what the ego has you do, the unholy mind has you see differences and focus on the differences. My space, your space. The Christ mind is the mystic mind. And it has you see with the same eyes now the sameness, the similarities, rather than the differences. And it has a power to bring compassion. And those people become very different because they no longer see the differences. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Like this year, different by making it all the same.
Yeah. Yeah. New girl, I'm horrible at names.
Cecily.
I'll eventually get it. Could you reach over your head and rotate that light
Think
on?
Think of Italy like Sicily or Cecily.
Yes. Yeah. Is that already on? Here we go. A little more light.
More?
Yeah, all the way, baby.
God said, let there be light.
Anybody else want to share on...
First, I want to make a comment about mysticism.
Okay, great.
One of our ministers that came to the church one time said, you can call it instinct or gut sense or intuition or mysticism. He says, I call it the language of God. And I think that
was
the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
What I get from the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah, of course, calls the Holy Spirit the voice for God.
Mm. Yeah. Using the language of God.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Well, we need, you know, language in order to kind of help us like understand what these things are.
Yeah.
But I think that every religion has that these certain things in common. And they call it, you know, each religion has different names for different things, but it's really all pointing to the same thing.
Pointing to the same thing. Yeah. Every once in a while we have a big discussion here, and of course that's, you know, on a bridge. Language is a bridge, and every religion is going to have a bridge from the separate to the one.
I see. The you language, know, yeah, the bridge.
From the lost soul to the found soul, yeah. From the enlightened to the enlightened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Good.
When I thought about in the meditation, when you said, "What do you feel?" Immediately, I just thought of like spaciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And presence. Mm. Presence was following my through my whole meditation. Just nice. presence.
Nice.
You know, no time, no birth, no death, just presence.
Yes.
And,
yes.
But yeah, a tremendous feeling of a wonderful, delicious spaciousness.
Yes. Good. Yeah.
Same. It was expansion for me. I mean, it was supposed to be about time, and it was space for me.
Because
everything, if the eternal just is, yes. Then everything is. So there's no lack. It's just, yeah, it's expansion.
Yeah. Expanded now, I felt.
Yeah.
Expanded now.
Yeah. Very good to have meditations like that. Get accustomed to that experience, because when your life gets difficult and the ego comes in and drowns you a bit, you just go in a closet, click the door shut, and think that. And it's a reset. It's a reset back to the truth. And all things in the world dissolve. If you, I mean, what you're being asked to do is nothing.
Thank God.
Right away. What?
I'll see when she did that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. She had a closet where she had several kids, and she would go into the closet, close the door, and say, "Go for a miracle right here and now." She says, "How can this be good? How can this be good?" She quieted her mind in the dark room. Anywhere she was, you just slip in there.
Secret garden.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. She had her little garden she would go to, and she'd ease her mind, and suddenly the Holy Spirit would speak.
Good.
And she'd come out with a smile on her face and say,
yeah.
"Bring it on." Yes, good. Anybody else want to share about eternity?
Yeah. My way of looking at eternity, since I really can't explain it, you feel it, but I don't really explain it, is to look at time.
Mm-hmm.
See what we call real, the time. So, time is based on kind of our body. Mm-hmm. Without the, you know, where sun rotates. Mm-hmm. We see light, we don't see light. Our eyes reflect this, we pick up on this. And then it spins around the planet because we can look out here and see that. Mm-hmm. So we have this going on, and then we base everything on that. We make up, we get a mechanical device, and we make up a thing that 24 hours and mm-hmm. so many days, and so it's all based on that. But when we start mm-hmm. looking at the science behind it,
mm-hmm.
it's like, you know, if it's for real, it should be all the same, and we can change it like black holes and different gravity devices just shred it to everything.
All made up.
Yep. And so when we look into space,
mm-hmm.
the real deep theories on it are that space is like a 3D, you know, hologram, that because mm-hmm. of all the gravity and stuff, what we're seeing is never the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Something that happened light years away, and these light years can't actually, you know, we don't even know what they really are, because everything affects it all.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's affected by so much, and
mm-hmm.
all we have is these bodies that, you know, so it's like so made up and so unreal.
Yep.
There's nothing real about it. It is the most phoniest thing in science.
That.
And we just, you know, so it's like there's nothing to prove any of it.
Yep. Fantasy on top
and
of fantasy.
When we look at who we really are,
mm-hmm.
it's not a body, and it's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I look at ourselves as being everywhere, and only, and it never, time cannot affect it at all.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the only thing that seems real.
Yep. fantasy of a fantasy, and like Mark's words, as the Course says, words are symbols of symbols twice removed from reality.
Yeah.
So don't hang on somebody's words so much.
Yeah.
You don't know what they mean, and they don't know what they mean exactly. They're just symbols of symbols. Give them a break.
That's right. Yeah, the next would use, they would get symbols coming in. They would say, we don't use words, but we're going to get these little images and symbols that you get like a vision, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But they don't understand that's once removed from reality.
Exactly.
And the thing that's not, when you get a revelation, that's direct. And of course, you can't take a revelation and tell anybody about with words.
You go put into symbols to do that. And then, whoops, and there you go.
There you go again. I got it, but I don't know how it's
talking right. about it. Right. So cut some slack there. Anybody else want to share about eternity? Okay, so let's read in a little bit about what the Course has to say about this. Turn to page 413 in the text. It's where we left off last week, top of the page, paragraph 4. Namir, are you going to grace for us? Are you going to read for us? Would you read for us paragraph 4?
Peace is extended from you only to the eternal, and it reaches out from the eternal to you. It flows across all else. The second obstacle is no more solid than the first, for you want neither to get rid of peace, nor limit it. What are these obstacles that you would impose between peace and its going forth, but barriers you place between your will and its accomplishment? You want communication, communion, not the feast of fear. You want salvation, not the pain of guilt. And you want your Father, not a little mound of clay, to be your home. In your body, relationship is your Father's Son. He has not lost communion with Him, nor with Himself. When you agree to join your brother, you acknowledge this is so. This has no cost, but it has release from cost.
Thank you. Mm. Fantastic. That little personal Julie there, when he called you a chunk of clay, he was like, hey, wait a minute.
It's such a great reminder. That's all it is this form being moved around.
Yeah.
In our minds.
Clay.
Is that supposed to be referring to us, the clay?
Yes.
Not like a house.
Yeah, dirt. You. Chunk of, yeah.
Body as home.
Your yeah, and this section is body as a home. That's correct. The section we're reading is that we associate value to the body. And it's trying to unhook us from that drunken approach. It says the most commonly repeated phrase in the entire book, mostly because around the workbook, is I am not a body. I am free. I'm still as God created me. Unhooking from the body is a big part of unhooking from the ego.
So when it says, and you want your Father, not a little mound of clay, to be your home, what is that like?
Yes. So your Father would be the symbol of a symbol for your source and for your true being. And so for you to return to your true being is to return to love. And actually be love, not seek love or wait for love. And so you were created by love, for love, and as love. And that's short to shorthand of that, it's your Father. You want that to be your home.
So your Father is like the source that guides you.
It's the source that you are.
That you are, okay.
You are extended from your source, not
that source that you tap into, so that that's what you pay attention to, not the lump of clay.
Right. The clay is a substitute, a way to focus not on you being current extension of your source.
Yeah.
Current extension, not disconnected. That's the hard part. That's the hard part. Mm. So you'd have to have a shift in perception about what you are to have these sentences make sense.
Yeah.
Her perception is, I'm different, I'm separate, I'm trying to kind of go home or somehow be reborn and somehow change me to come back to God, to back to love. No. Of course, it's saying, I know this is a hard concept for you, but you never left home. It says of itself, this is a, quote, journey without distance. It's a play on words, because we couldn't handle just, you're already there. It doesn't make enough sense. So let's call it a journey.
It's too easy, too simple.
It's just not believable. Because if I was already there, I wouldn't be trying to get there, says
the
ego.
Apart from our illusions.
Yes. You couldn't be apart from your illusions so quickly.
Yeah.
It's not impossible. It's just very unlikely. So the book is written to talk about what you see and what you think is real. And if you'll follow it, if you'll just do the lessons without questioning and trying to make too much sense of them, but just read right through them and let them do you, you will awaken to your eternal nature now. It just happens. This expansion happens, and you say, I liked that expansive feeling more than I ever liked the focused contraction of trying to hold the right hand that says I love you, or get blessed with the right moment in the world. That coming back down and in to the present moment, for me, that is the awakening. I can't go back. I can't go back.
The awakening, when you say you're already there, I mean, for me, when I have the revelations that David's talking about, it's very clear to me that I already am that. And it's remembering. It's not discovering for the first time.
Yeah.
It's remembering.
Yes.
And the Forgotten Song, that's why I find that section so beautiful, because it talks about the little wisp of memory, like this little wisp of, anyway.
Ancient song, forgotten.
Yes. Yeah. No, absolutely. And that remembering is a present experience. Yeah, we can read that. It's been a long time since we did. Let's go to page 446 and see what Julie's talking about. 446 in the text.
Hey, we're not that far away.
Isn't that exciting?
You said you've been teaching this for 13 years. Did you start at 1 and this is how far you've gotten so far?
No. That's be wicked faster than we go. No.
That's what I mean. You've been working on it for 13 years so far?
We started on chapter... when I got here, when I took over the meeting, we started on chapter, I think it was 6 or 7. Yeah.
And you haven't gone back to 1 yet again?
Are you kidding? Cherish the thought. We want to get to the workbook, don't we?
Cherish the thought. Now that's a special thought.
Okay.
446.
That just doesn't look like the right page.
Not the right page?
Yeah, it just doesn't look right. But it is right. It is right. Okay, so paragraph 6. And you know what? Really, you got to start at paragraph 3. Really. Yeah. Let's read through. Let's read through from 3 through 7 or so. So, Wendy, you ready? Paragraph 3?
Sure. There is no need to learn through pain. I'm going to say it again. There is no need to learn through pain.
Mm.
And gentle lessons are acquired joyously, and I remembered laughing. What gives you happiness you want to learn and not forget? It is not this you would deny. Your question is whether the means by which this course is learned will bring to you the joy it promises. If you believe it would, the learning of it would be no problem. You are not a happy learner, yet because you still remain uncertain, that vision gives you more than judgment does. And you have learned that both you cannot have.
Read that last sentence again. You're not a happy learner. Why?
You are not a happy learner because you still remain uncertain that vision gives you more than judgment does.
Beautiful.
And you have learned that both you cannot have. If the book says somewhere, if you just give up judgment, you'll be free. You just toss the book. You don't even have to learn all the other lessons. You're home. Just give up judgment.
Yeah, stop that.
Stop that.
Louie, four.
The blind become accustomed to their world by their adjustments to it. They think they know their way about in it. They learned it, not through joyous lessons, but through the stern necessity of limits that they believe they could not overcome. And still believing this, they hold those lessons dear and cling to them because they cannot see. They do not understand the lessons, keep them blind. This they do not believe, and so they keep the world they learn to see in their imagination, believing that their choice is that or nothing. They hate the world they learn through pain, and everything they think is in it serves to remind them that they are incomplete and bitterly deprived.
I was on an airplane recently, and I plugged through one of the videos, and it was titled "You Cannot Ask That." It's a series out of Australia, and they've interviewed certain types of people, groups of people, and they ask the questions that are not politically correct. And the group that I picked on was blind people. And so they had six blind people, and they asked them questions like, you know, well, hey, what do you see here? If you could see one thing, what would it be? And do you want help? And all sorts of, what did they can think of, you know? And one of the questions, you know, like I say, was what, if you could see something, what would it be? Assuming that they wanted to see something like everybody else. One of the guys, who was an avid reader, blind since birth, he said, I'd just like to see one printed page, just once. Just give me a glimpse of a printed page. That's all I want.
Well, he's
going to
see my child's face.
Somebody else said that, and he said, I know, that sounds really nice. I still want to see a printed page. That was in his heart, was the page, and he loves to read. Right? That's all he wants. You can see. Another person said, why would I want to see anything? I don't even know what that means.
That's great.
He says, I've got everything I need. I have a full life. You don't get it. I have a full life being blind. Right? Yeah. And notice that I kind of like to see my child when they were first born. I just want to see if they were smiling. That's it. I don't need to see anything else. I just want to know that it was okay. Yes. They are committed to their world. Like you are committed to your world of being in a body and separate where you can only see with your eyes.
They do see. And they must not see.
They do.
The ego's eyes.
So do you. You see with your ego's eyes. Yeah. And you're starting to see with your Christ eyes. You're starting to see without what's beyond your eyeballs. And that's the sense of freedom we get. As we start to wake up spiritually, we start to get this beyond sense. Okay, number five. Don't tell me Cecily.
Think of like Sicily, yeah. But Cecily.
Yeah.
The country.
Sicily, but not separate. Yeah. Okay, I'm working it. Don't think too much of Sicily because you'll blow it. Okay.
Yeah, he'll
Okay. Thus, they define their life and where they live, adjusting to it as they think they must, afraid to lose the little that they have. And so it is with all who see the body as all they have and all their brothers have.
Now, I'm going to stop there, because in this video, they interviewed somebody who started to get a partial restoration of his sight. He started to see colors, just light and dark, and it was very disturbing to him. Didn't have resolution, he just had these disturbing light patches through nutrition or whatever it is they got him. His light come back a little bit, and it was just disturbing to him. He would prefer the simplicity of nothing and just continue to work the way he had always had. More information was not welcome. Please continue.
So are you comparing, saying that that's what we do?
That's what we do. And like with our eternity meditation, maybe some of you, with this large spaciousness, maybe some of you felt very different from the connection to the linear world, where you know exactly where you are, what to do, what's next, what time to go to sleep, what time to get up, time to pay the, you know. Eternity means there is no time. Great. Now, how do you do it? You prefer the linear nature that we're so accustomed to. And that's just how you stay in the world. That's just how you stay in the world. And by the way, what do you want? The good news first or the bad news first?
Whichever.
You don't care? All right. Okay, well, the bad news is... you'll stay in the world for as long as you want. The good news is, you will stay in the world for as long as you want. That's the good news and the bad news. You see, there's no rush to wake you up, since you're only dreaming.
Nothing's really happening.
Nothing's really happening. No harm's being done to reality. Reality's calmly waiting.
Nothing's happening.
In fact, the Course says that part of you is awake and is completely awake in heaven. And a part of your mind is dreaming of exile. No harm done. It's just a dream. Do as you wish. The Course says you can... Another quote. You can only endure so much discomfort. You can only be so uncomfortable. This is a place, it calls it a joyless place. Compared to your true nature, it's a joyless place. You can only endure so much without joy, and then you must return to joy. Why? How? How and why is the same question. Because you are joy. You're pretending not to be. You are love. You're pretending not to be. And it's been a wild adventure, huh, Dick? Right. To not be pure love.
That's true.
But now there's this gravity pulling us, heart and mind, back to what we truly are. And this is the spiritual journey. It turns out, it's a journey without distance. The goal has never changed. And it's the awakening. It involves not a doing, which is why I love A Course in Miracles. Never seen it anyplace else. It's not a doing. A Course in Miracles describes this as an undoing. Stop that. Stop that. You want to know the short? Yeah. Stop that. You're done. Yes?
There was this thing that I read in the Bhagavad Gita where this man was walking with Krishna through the forest. And Krishna said, oh, go fetch some water. So the man goes off to go fetch some water, and he runs across a beautiful woman, falls in love with her, ends up marrying her, has kids, lives his whole long life. And then all of a sudden some flood comes and he dies. And when he dies, he is right back there. And Krishna says, where's my water? And that just like, I don't know,
nice.
Came to me.
That's beautiful. Perfect.
Yeah.
That's so good.
But I wonder what would happen if we didn't measure time, if we didn't like count our ages.
Yeah.
If you didn't think of everything relating to time, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you just woke up, did whatever we do, went to bed. It's like once in a while I'll forget what day it is.
Yes.
Know?
Yes.
If we lived our life that way, what would that be like? I wonder if we it would release us from some of our obsession with...
You know what it'd be like? Let me see if I can remember. It would be calm, peaceful, with a sense of timelessness and a sense of agelessness, as you described a few moments ago. Mm. Because there's no hurry. Mm. Because there's no real change that is happening. There's a constant embrace, and inside of your witnessing, there's actually a creation. A participation with that moment is a contribution from you in this state. And you are creating, even as you witness it.
Yeah. It's like I've always thought it's kind of sad, you know, because I've never really, like, led a conventional life, but I've always found it sad that people, like, Monday's a bad day, Wednesday's a little better because they're closer to Friday. Friday's great. Yeah. Friday's great because then they got 2 days where they don't have to be at work. And then Sunday's kind of like okay because you know you're going to go to work the next day.
But it's depressing at the end.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
You know?
Torture.
Torture.
It's torture. Mm. It's torture.
And it's all programmed in our mind. That's right. The only place it is in our mind.
It's in our mind, yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Were we still in the middle of paragraph?
Yeah.
Please continue.
Yeah. Five, yeah. Okay.
And so it is with all who see the body as all they have and all their brothers have. They try to reach each other, and they fail, and fail again, and they adjust to loneliness, believing that to keep the body is to save the little that they have. Listen and try to think, if you remember, what we will speak of now.
Okay, so what she just read is real critical to our reading tonight. Okay, so we talked about the blind who are accustomed to the way they do things, and that's their world. And they continue to define the world without full perception and start to protect what they know. The blind.
We're the blind.
The way the blind. We're the blind because we are stuck on bodies as being reality.
Yeah.
So watch these words right here. Paragraph 5, sentence 3. They try to reach each other. One body tries to reach another body. Out of what? Love! Thank you very much. So kind and loving am I that I will reach and communicate with your body. Very innocent. Okay? But as we read in chapter 16, it's done with a special relationship. I'm not going to reach everybody, just one. A special one. One that will fulfill the promises that I need fulfilled.
Then and only then.
Then, which makes sense, because then I'll feel the love that I'm looking for when you behave like I think you should. That's why I picked you.
That's like, you know, you only fall in love on Friday.
That's it, yeah, right. Yeah, because it's convenient. And Friday's a good day. Everybody's happy on Friday. I don't have a chance to fall in love on Monday.
Get it.
It's too depressing.
Can I say something?
Yes.
So I had a client today that was describing that she was with a friend and they had gone somewhere and they met someone at the counter and the woman at the counter annoyed the friend. And so a few seconds later, that woman was saying her annoyance. And my client said, I tried to say, well, perhaps she has a reason for being that way. Mm. And she said the woman came at her and got really mad at her.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And so we picked through all that, and then I want you to tell me if what I said was anywhere near the truth. What I said was, I know that this woman happens to be, my client happens to be one of the most loving people I know.
Yes.
And I said, well, what you could have done instead of saying anything is look at your friend with a smile of love and look at the woman at the counter and give her a smile of love.
Beautiful.
Also. Mm-hmm. That's all you really needed to do.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You tell her that what is missing, whenever one person is unhappy with another person, compassion is missing. Mm-hmm. It's gone out the window.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Smile of love, is that your way of saying look through their eyes? Mm-hmm. And the Course in Miracles says it this way. The Course in Miracles says, would you blame yourself for doing that?
Mm. That's great. Yeah.
Right? It's like, whoa, you take that into meditation.
I would blame myself for doing
what?
But whatever you forgive yourself eventually.
Whatever this behavior was that you disagree with, what would it take you to do that? They did that. The other person did that.
Right.
Said that, stole that, broke that, put that wrong finger in the air, used those words. And you say, I never use words like that with my friends, ever.
So
therefore, I'm really mad at that person who just did. Completely incompassionate.
So another form of measurement.
Yes. Yes, it is. And judgment and division.
And separation. Yeah.
Exactly. Yes. So, for you to make sense of that clever question of A Course in Miracles, you would really have to change your perspective of what you are. Since you never do it, you'd have to really get a little inventive and creative, wouldn't you? If you did do it, you must have been motivated to do it. By your training, by your anger, by your weakness, by your strength. Some people think swearing is strong. And people who don't swear are shortening their communication. They're holding back.
Right.
The honest are the ones who swear, they say.
Yeah, real honest.
The real honest ones, get it right out there. Quit hiding. It's different strokes, folks.
That's all what you're used to, really.
You get to the honesty, see? Would you blame yourself for doing that if you were so capable of doing that? So you've got to get out of your own small perspective. Get out of the judgment that says, I know what's right.
Mm-hmm. Back to what she
compassion.
Said. I think she was that was a compassionate answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Look at that person, love or smile.
Yes. The only problem I have with compassion. That, why I don't use that myself, and you could get away with it because of your relationship with her, is that I don't know what people think love is. And I've been trained that a lot of people are very misinformed about love compared to what I think it is.
No, I agree.
Well, I feel love from her.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
I feel it from her.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. You know her. You know her nature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know the language you can communicate to join with her.
Yeah.
Well, and it may not be Course in Miracles.
Well, the problem with it was that because the woman came back at her, she figured she'd done something wrong.
Yeah.
And that's what I was trying to say to her.
Yes.
You know, if you don't want to be triggered by somebody's words, then just in love and don't do anything else.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
None of your business anyway.
None of your business. I like that. I like that a lot.
She thinks about that woman. So
you're not responsible for other people's feelings.
I like that a lot. None of your business. It's really
so you passed.
It's our business. Our business, their business, and God's business. I love.
Yeah.
And if it's not my business, it's going to be painful if I try to get involved in it.
Yeah. The Course is very specific on that, and it says you do have a responsibility here. You do have a particular job here, and it is to choose the atonement for yourself. In all situations, get your own side of the street clean. When you come to love, you can give the smile of love. If you're choosing to do that, give the smile of love, if she knows what that means, that means she's going to come to peace. You don't smile at love by saying, you son of a... I'm not going to punish you, and that's how much you can see I love you, because I'm not going to punish you for hurting me. That's the old way. That's the ego's way of forgiving. No, smile at love is you have caused no harm. I wish peace on you. As instantly my wishing on peace on you brings peace to me.
And what about when you see someone who's just like anti-Muslim and just being out there, really putting someone down for being Muslim.
Yes.
Being different.
I went to an event this week that was, and they were, there was a whole thing about learning how to say things to people where you don't want to allow that to happen in your world. I'm not explaining what I mean very well. But it bothers me if I hear someone, treating someone badly because they're Muslim or because they're, something.
Yes. Yes.
And so to do nothing, to not say anything, but not to criticize them.
So
it's confusing,
Yes. So
The key to that is compassion, Carol.
Exactly. Yeah. The key is compassion.
And so before you choose to say anything, you say, ask the Holy Spirit to show you the truth in this. Show me the love in those horrible statements. As we learn in chapter, 4 or so, we learn it's fear. And fear is a call for love.
Yes.
And so what you're watching is a call for love.
Yes.
They're trying
and
to
I'm
protect.
Realizing that while I'm watching.
Yes.
I just don't know what to say.
Yes.
The person feels threatened by something, and so they want to feel safe. And so their way of trying to make it safe is by accusing the other person of something.
Yeah.
Yes, and sticking to their difference.
Yeah.
And using their judgment as a protection, which, of course, has a straight-up ego. And differences. You do not.
I'm seeing that. I mean, I'm seeing that it's there over here. I just don't know how what I want to do to be compassionate.
Yes. Okay, good. Thank you. Because you went right to the point of A Course in Miracles.
Yeah.
For you to be compassionate, you have to do the work in that moment now. It's great. Which you can do now, looking back on it. It's the same. For you to do the job for yourself is to heal you. And you choose the atonement for yourself regarding Muslim segregation and judgment. And that person's, what's it called? Bigotry?
Yeah.
If that really bothers you, bigotry, and you'd like to fix it in the world, first fix it in yourself entirely. Mm-hmm. And that means they can be as they are. Because you're choosing that they're wrong.
Yeah.
Okay? So what's happening is it somewhere in your mind the ego's got this round up, or you can make everything better by changing them, which is what they want to do. They can make everything better by changing the other person.
So it's doing the same thing.
So if you can see them whole as calling for love in this way,
I do see that.
Yeah. Now you can conjoin with them, because what are you trying to do? You want to bring love. You'd like to sit them down and show them how if they treated this person with love and understanding, they wouldn't have to change. They could be Muslim. And you could be Christian, Jewish, whatever you are, and you could still both be experiencing the same love. You'd love to be able to do that, right? To reconcile that whole thing. I'm going to book a ticket to Palestine.
It's very dicey, though, because you start talking about accepting, you know, saying that the other, it's okay for the other person to be who they are, but what if the other person's like Sharia law?
Yeah.
You know, you can't be an individual.
Yeah.
They want to change those people.
Yes.
So if you're going to accept everybody, but they don't accept people, then how do you, you know? I mean,
that's what he's talking about with Carol.
Sing the one.
Right. Yeah.
That's
right.
What he's talking about.
Yeah.
Carol.
That's what I'm saying.
So I guess what I'm hearing is if you have a problem with somebody who has bigotry, you're seeing bigotry instead of seeing them as whole. And therefore, you have bigotry.
No,
we're hearing that.
What I'm saying, though, is like you say, okay, well, that's okay if those people believe that, but when they start to tell you that you're not living life correctly,
it's right. It can't have double standard. If they're going to listen to you, you have to listen to them.
Yeah.
And what if they outnumber you? Does that make them right? Time for Sharia. Cover your head.
Yeah.
Cover your hair.
Right.
Can't see your skin anymore. Take away your driver's license.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look it. Do you see where we're going here? We're trying to fix the world.
The thing is,
aren't we trying to fix the world?
Ego. Not
Wendy. Are we trying to fix the world?
It's okay. The whole damn thing is okay.
The whole thing is a dream. Listen.
Yeah.
The only way to reconcile our experience in the world is to wake up to the fact that the world is a dream.
And nothing's happened.
Yeah. Nothing's happened. You don't need to fix a dream. You're here, though. Part of your consciousness is invested here. So the Course's job is to carefully wake up you to you. Not you to the world. You to you. And see your participation in making the world whatever it means to you. So?
Well, I guess what I'm saying is there's a certain... It's idealistic what you're talking about, and I'm not doing a good job of expressing what I'm thinking.
Yes.
So if there's a threat, there's a direct threat.
Yes.
Say like that person's going to kill you.
Yes.
Because they don't like who you are.
Yes.
Duck.
You've got to protect yourself.
Yes. You got to duck.
Leave the area. You know, do whatever you got to do to protect it.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
Do you still say, okay, well, that's okay that they did that?
Well, this is only because that's your priority. Mm. Is you're still absolutely addicted to a body and being in a body.
Mm-hmm.
So, Duck, if that brings you peace, the first goal is peace.
Mm-hmm.
From peace comes understanding.
Mm.
Not from understanding comes peace.
Mm.
Okay.
So if peaceful is run, duck the body, run, duck the body.
Mm-hmm.
Take the pill. Take the pain pill. Of course, says here, page 26, you know, it says, go ahead, you know what, if your life is so messed up, the pain is so sharp, you can't even read the book, take the aspirin and then come back and read the book when your head's calm, and we're going to advance your mind even as you calm your body with the aspirin.
Yeah.
Right? It, because the ego speaks first and loudest, but if you have the patience, you let the ego stand aside and look back over the situation about this difficult thing you described, you can still see through it and look for the call for love. In that attack to kill you or to steal your purse by breaking your window and stealing your purse, was having happened to you or somebody in this, somebody here.
Not me, but somebody years ago had that story.
Right? And so we worked through it one night, and you can see the innocence behind any action.
Yeah, I guess you're right, because any religion that believes that their way is the best, what they're doing is trying to protect themselves and create a peaceful environment for everybody.
Everybody's wanting the same thing.
Yes.
Everybody wants the same thing.
But they're going about it differently. Maybe the Course says, you who have twisted minds is said for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
We're all going about it differently to get the same thing.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
To see the oneness in it. Mm-hmm. The whole thing. It's like, they want peace by doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And we want peace too. So see the joining and the oneness in it.
Yeah.
That's it, Wendy. So the answer is not fixing them. The answer is not sitting down and schooling them on how to treat a Muslim better. That's not the answer. Because then you just let the Muslim treat you and show you. I mean, the other person who's a bigot.
They've never seen the other person different.
They could say, fix the, they could give you their lesson. And this is the world of separation. The world of differences. You do have a job, though, Carol, in that situation. It is now, with the guidance of A Course in Miracles and the Holy Spirit, that difficult situation with your heart all in your throat, you want to say something, you don't know what to say without getting in trouble or getting beat up. But your heart is calling you to say something. Maybe even tears are coming because it's just so hurtful. Maybe it's your own family member. And you just don't want this horrible thing to continue. We harness that tension that the world is presenting. Turn it over to the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Do the workbook. You'll find out. You will actually do it day by day. And through that same experience, seeing with the eyes of the Holy Spirit, a peace will come to you where the ugliness was.
Mm-hmm.
And that direct contrast is the quickest teacher. The deepest teacher is to change, and this is a quote, the loveliest place on earth is where an ancient hatred becomes... Watch this next word. A present love. Right on top of where the hatred was, which is forever, right? Hatred? I mean, real hatred. You know what I'm talking about? That's permanent. Forever. Swap that for present love. And isn't love forever?
Yes.
Isn't love a description of an eternal condition?
Mm.
Real love?
Exactly.
Not conditional. A real love we're talking about. It is a replacement. It's a correction. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah,
best of luck. Yeah, go ahead.
I've had a few experiences recently where, you know, you look at, like we were talking about, you look at, I'll watch TV or something, there's this horrible thing happening, and I realize I'm looking at it, I'm making it real.
Yes.
And when I when I go to the other rally, it's like, obviously, well, how do I do? The point is, I didn't do anything to get the new viewpoint. It came to me. And what got me confused a lot of times is, I didn't do anything. So I'm like, what has happened? What's going on? I'm going, I didn't do anything. So it's happening. It's like, this really works.
Yeah.
But I didn't do anything, so I don't know how to talk about it.
Yeah.
Don't talk about it. Just, and it's been happening. And I'm going,
that's right.
To Stephanie, they go, Stephanie, look at this. It just, I can't tell you about it. I don't know how to, it's like, but I didn't do anything.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Have you noticed that the times you tried to talk about it, it started to fall apart?
Yep. Oh, yeah. I'm like, glad you said that, because that's what just happens.
Yes.
But then I look back, going, you say, look past it, because
oh, I was reading this other book. This goes, well, Jesus would, he would, oh, he, to forgive, he just started pure love, and instead of trying to figure out what forgiving.
That's why people come up and say, thank you for healing me. He said, I didn't heal you. It was your faith that healed you.
Yeah.
Sorry, but I didn't do it.
I know, it's like, and that, I didn't do anything. And I just got rid of it. That's okay.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like confusing because my mind's waiting for it. Whoa. Yes. I got to talk about it.
Yes.
Nope.
Yeah. The only response.
It's kind of freaky too.
It's freaky. It's a little frustrating too.
Yeah.
You know, but the perhaps a helpful response in that moment, if you can remember it, is a 2-word response. Thank you.
That's, yeah.
That'll do.
That's a good one. Because you got to be able to, not thank you, be also, what's the other word they use for that? That I have, find hard to use sometimes is you're being grateful.
Grateful. Gratitude. Yeah.
You know? I know, grateful's got to be something. I got to figure out how to just be grateful when these things happen.
Yes, yes.
And
that's, here's why it's so important.
Yeah.
Because the gratitude is an acceptance.
Yeah.
It's a closing of the loop. It's the poor man's, I love you, to say thank you, both gives and receives at the same time when you say thank you. You see the movement of mind?
Yeah.
When you say thank you to anybody. Amir, I just want to say thank you. I feel something here that I would like you to feel there for what you did here. I'm running out of ways to do it. I'm just going to say thank you. But by you hearing it, I know I've given it, and now the loop is closed in me. So the light in me reaching for the light in you with the knowledge of the light in you has already reached me.
I can see that.
And whether you get it or not, right, in that those circumstances, I don't care. I just thank you. And if it's you'll feel it. A sincere gratitude is projected by your being. Your face shows it, your shoulders, everything. The words may not even come out sloppy, but it's, I get it. You're welcome.
Thank you. You can see that in her face that she really experienced that, felt that.
Yes, there's an energy exchange.
Yeah. A smile.
So that's very important, the gratitude. And so in the book, the Course says about that, it says, God does not need your gratitude, but you need to give it.
Yeah.
For you.
Yeah.
For exactly that reason. That's
and
how you receive
everything
it.
Everything I'm doing with this is me.
Yes.
I'm doing those, giving it and stuff.
Yes, yes. So now you can acknowledge having participated in something spiritual without knowing exactly what it was.
Yeah. You're just returning to
because, it's like, what is that?
Yeah, now it's completed.
Because the other thing I've been doing, too, is you look at all these horrible, like you talk about this bad thing happened. This, it's like, oh, why are you looking at that? Mm-hmm. Somebody will tell us, why are you looking at that? Oh, okay, forget it.
Yeah.
Because you have to shift. To, you have to go over here. That don't exist, so. Stop looking. The more you look at that, the more it's going to be real. It's like the shrinks. Check out all these bad things you do all the time. Oh, stop doing that. That don't work.
Okay, now.
But she was going to say something.
Yeah.
Where I feel gratitude, and I don't want to say the most, but the realest, is when I say to myself, I'm so grateful I'm coming to this class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel
which
that.
Which is when you ask, what do we fear? What I fear the most is that I won't be coming.
Yeah.
So it's and so when I come, I can feel so much gratitude towards myself, and I can feel.
This is the self love, and the gratefulness back to the source of you getting here, and sharing yourself with us. Yeah, that's beautiful.
Well, that's beautiful.
Yeah, that circle's completed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, very good. That's love. Love recognizes love. Yeah, so gratitude is the perfect response. Gratitude is the perfect response. Yes. So look at, I'm rushing a little bit because we're running out of time. Look at paragraph 5, sentence 3 again. They, which means, you know, analogy for you who are bodies and believing that you're bodies, okay, try to reach each other and they fail and fail again. Remember in chapter 16, the special relationship body to body is a, quote, union, okay, clear your throat, where union is excluded because you're actually having differences idolized in the two different beings trying to be different together. And then together, be different. Nobody's had a love like we have. Ever said that to your sweetheart in high school? I did. Nobody knows what we're feeling. Nobody's ever felt like this way before in the whole history of the earth. I did that. I did that. Okay. Until she wasn't so special a few months later. That was over. All right. Now. Okay. Four. And they adjust, get it, to loneliness. They adjust to loneliness, believing that to keep the body is to save the little that they have. You got to keep the body so you can relate to another separate body. You see, separate and separate equals, well, you know, that's the whole like goal. Put it to make a one with two halves. But you got to keep the body to do it. But that means you're staying in materialism. You're not getting to the love that has no bounds. You can't touch eternity. You got to stay busy with time and space.
So in other words, it's saying that if you accept that, you know, your ego is who you are.
Yes.
You're going to always make adjustments, and it's always going to turn out badly.
That's it. The promise of love will be there.
Yeah. Wait, say that again, what we're saying?
Seek and do not find. If the promise of love will always be there because, you know, that
yeah,
sounds
right.
better.
Yeah.
But you're right. It's always going to end badly because the premise is faulty.
Right.
If you're ego means
basing it on this sort of broken being. That's not whole and complete.
It's actually a separate being.
A separate being.
So,
yeah.
so,
right,
so separate means loneliness, aloneness is the condition. Mm. You can't really join.
It's kind of like if you make your decisions based on your fears, it's always going to turn out not right. You know, not the way, not ideal, not the way it really should be, yeah. because you're always making adjustments.
And yes.
Like kind of, this is the best I can do, and I can yes. do. I can only do get this far because I've got this issue. And
that's it. I'm protecting myself.
A bad foundation, and you
right.
try to build it.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And it'll always fall back, no matter how high it is, because the foundation is bad.
Yeah. That's right.
Right.
Because fear is avoiding loss.
Mm. Yeah.
And if you have a joining which is based on avoiding loss, it's going to be about loss. The joining will be about loss.
Mm.
That's a special relationship. It's a great way to summarize a special relationship. You keep adjusting so you don't have to feel. But actually the motivation is to not lose.
Yeah.
Why, Julian, page 366?
Because close to setting the goal. But
because
the ego knows only what it does not want.
The ego knows only what it does not want. And that's a fear-based pursuit.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. Okay. Okay, so, you know, anyway, so it's horrible to speed through this, but we must. So they adjust to loneliness, believing that to keep the body is to save little that they have. Listen and try to think if you remember what we'll speak of now.
And this is the next one.
Now! Get out your highlighter.
Yeah. Where are we now?
Okay, now we're on paragraph six on page 446.
Okay.
Who's up to bat?
I am.
Okay, Carol, bring it. Give us this gift.
Listen. Perhaps you catch a hint of an ancient state, not quite forgotten. Dim, perhaps, and yet not altogether unfamiliar. Like a song whose name is long forgotten, and the circumstances in which you heard completely unremembered. Not the whole song has stayed with you, but just a little wisp of melody. Attached not to a person or a place or anything particular, but you remember from just this little part how lovely was the song, how wonderful the setting when you heard it, and how you loved those who were there and listened with you.
It's one of my favorite.
The forgotten song.
That's great.
Yes.
It's one of my favorite parts in the book.
Go on my website. I put this to music.
It's
what we're reading right
so
now.
So beautiful. I listen to it all the time.
Check it out on the website for free under free audio and just listen in. You know, it's a beautiful, beautiful piece of this book called The Forgotten Song. A little meditation for you. It's like 8 or 10 minutes, Julie. Is that right?
Okay.
All right. Beautiful. And Julie, seven.
Okay. The notes are nothing, yet you have kept them with you, not for themselves, but as a soft reminder of what would make you weep if you remembered how dear it was to you. you could remember, yet you are afraid, believing you would lose the world you learned since then, and yet you know that nothing in the world you learned is half so dear as this. Listen and see if you remember an ancient song you knew so long ago and held more dear than any melody you taught yourself to cherish since.
And what we're talking about, this is a beautiful passage to try to move your, so it's a great meditation, to move your mind into that expansive sense of eternity, which you can't remember with the ego's mind. So it's asking you to go beyond, like a song you can't quite remember, but you can remember how much you loved it. It's a really great way to describe this home of eternity, this returning to your Father, to your source. It's returning to what you really are, still connected. Yeah.
And it's the I remember asking you once the difference between yearning and lack.
Yes.
And like we all actually, I mean, I believe that these two paragraphs state why we are here, why we yearn for that, because we know just enough to want to come home. And but you said the difference between yearning and lack is that with yearning you know you can have.
Yes. And with lack you know you don't have. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. Big difference over the exact same, very, very similar experience can be shifted. Very good. Very good. Yes, yes. Okay, so beautiful, we should just read another
so
one.
So beautiful. I'm in
Walt, you up?
Yeah.
Number eight?
Number seven.
Eight.
Okay. Beyond the body, beyond the sun and stars, past everything you see and yet somehow familiar, is an arc of golden light that stretches as you look into a great and shining circle. And all the circle fills with light before your eyes. The edges of the circle disappear, and what is in it is no longer contained at all. The light expands and covers everything, extending to infinity, forever shining, and with no break or limit anywhere. Within it, everything is joined in perfect continuity. Nor is it possible to imagine that anything could be outside, for there is nowhere that this light is not.
Julie, you hearing the music behind this paragraph?
Yeah, and you skip down to sentence 3 in paragraph 9. I think you skip a sentence in that, actually.
it's
so beautiful.
I can hear this in my mind, because there's a break in the music where this just gets so wispy. And it's like, feel that sentence.
Yes. You gotta listen to it. Seriously. I like keep it on my phone. And just play it when I need it.
Mm. How do you get it on your phone?
I just keep that tab open in my browser.
Okay. As beautiful as that is, let's bail on it. And let's look back at tonight's...
You know what, this paragraph 8, what he read, describes what I couldn't describe when I experienced so many times in meditation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That whole thing, just what it said.
That's
the light
what it's talking about.
Starting here, and then the whole thing becomes filled up, and there is no place where there's not the oneness, the light, the love. It's just like that, but I couldn't
get
into words.
Yeah, yeah. It's good. Well, you have the spaciousness aspect on it.
Yeah.
And that is truly to leave time behind, is to touch that spaciousness and know it to be true. Even for an instant, Wendy, is all it takes to make reality of the world crack open forever. Because you will recognize you touched eternity or the truth. And it compares the truth in that spaciousness, compares so strongly to all the false promises of the world through your entire life. How false they are and how unnecessary they are.
They just falls away like this.
Because you in your own mind, in your own experience, by just doing nothing for a moment, felt that spaciousness that you would rather call home. And it is your home.
Thanks for
yes.
I have a question. A lot of what you've said today makes a lot of sense to me, how we
for our own selves personally, but if you have like a difficult relationship and your concerns are related to another person that you love in your life, how does this, I mean, cause it seems like so much of it's about like us with us dealing with ourselves.
Yes.
But what about with others that we love?
We did a whole day. We actually left the room. We gathered up in another room down the street to handle this.
You can't answer it in 1 minute.
Well, I can. I don't know if you're going to like it. I'm not sure you'll like it. But it is one of the burdens this book carries, is what you just said, is to see your brother in the light of wholeness. And then that's the key to your wholeness. The challenge is that they are suffering. That's the challenge. It looks like it. It sounds like it. And their tears and their loss or their sickness seems like proof of suffering is real. This book would have you use that very mistaken vision or sight of a suffering person and have you see through it by your willingness to not share their dream of suffering even as they suffer and in your presence. By your willingness not to see their suffering as real, even as their body suffers, you awaken, your atonement takes hold, and your strength comes up. They then, this is the crazy part, but it's true, they then see the reflection of wholeness on your face in the presence of their suffering, and their suffering becomes less. And it's a wordless adventure. It's a wordless adventure, most times. But what it is a real experience. And like the spaciousness becomes a very real experience. And you see, everybody hates pain. Everybody hates suffering. But you see in that space of hatred and or suffering, cancer, whatever it is, or heartbreak, even where it is, you see in that the call for love, the call for love. You see an honest, and the more suffering they're dealing, the more honest you can believe they wish they weren't suffering. The more honest you can see the call for, and feel, not the suffering now, don't be doing that. We talked about that last week, right? You see the pain you don't deny. The need for suffering you deny for you, and you wish it for them. Don't tell it to them, those are fighting words. But instead, you allow it in your mind that the suffering is optional. You allow it in your mind that pain is only serving as a them now to call for love, to call for the Holy Spirit, to say, show me this differently. Show me infinity where it looks like time is crushing their happiness to nothing. Switch to the infinity. Switch to the power that's occurring here rather than the weakness that's occurring here. Now, to do that, you know what you're going to need?
A miracle.
You're going to need a miracle.
But a miracle is just changing how you see it, not changing your mind.
That's right. Yeah.
Except that you don't change it. You have to let go.
You got to read the whole book. It's 1,300 pages. Okay? It's a big deal. It's significant. But it does mean freedom. It does. It's a formula for freedom. But you will need a miracle to do something as crazy as that.
Yeah.
Be amid somebody's suffering and to be free and to see them free. And then you feel free, and they feel free because you feel free, even as they continue to feel the pain.
Because they can see their wholeness in you because you're reflecting that wholeness to them.
Yes. It's contagious.
Yeah, it's just each time it happens, then.
But it has to start with you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
When the book says, don't support bad behavior.
Yes.
That's what it's talking about.
Yeah. That's exactly
what it's talking about. Right, like you brought it up because I was looking for better ways to explain that.
That's exactly what it's talking about.
Instead of joining with what we think the empathy is, oh yeah, you're feeling hurt. It must be so hard. It must be hurt. You know, that the world's terminology of empathy and all that, it's not joining with the ego, but holding that place of wholeness, seeing them through that. But with compassion.
Yes.
Not
the first night I got here, one of the things he said, the only thing he said to me was, and you know you can't change somebody else's path. And that was a blow, because I thought that's what I was supposed to do. So I said to myself eventually, well, what can I do? The only thing I can do is love them the way they are.
Yes.
And I've been doing that with my daughter. Nice. Her temper has almost faded away. She started going back to the gym. She is loving herself more and more. It makes me want to cry, because that was in December and this is May. And she's just, her whole life has changed. She's been angry since she was 6 years old.
Mm-hmm. And you started loving her the way she was?
Well, I loved her all along the way she was.
Yes.
But I didn't like what she liked, what she was.
Yes.
And she's changed. There's nothing about her that I don't dislike anymore.
Yes.
That
yes.
I don't like anymore.
Good, good.
Yeah. And for some reason she's changing. I'm not saying it's because of me. I'm just saying there's something in her that is responding to whatever's going on for her. I think she's figuring out that she doesn't want to be unloving or be anything else.
That's right. And she is not her body. She is not her path. She is on her path.
She's on her path.
Yes. Yes.
And she's experiencing love of herself somehow.
Yes.
I think that's why she went back to the gym.
You're supporting an awakening.
Yeah.
No matter what it looks like.
Yeah. And
I'll take them all. I'll take them all.
I'm just hoping that I'm supporting my own awakening as well as I'm supporting hers.
Yes, because then whatever twisted path you think you're on, that too is to be supported.
Yeah.
You are. You definitely are. And that's what the book says. It says you can see through through your brother, through their twisted path. If you can accept that as having only one destination, as twisted as it is, we all just want to be happy, right, Wendy? As you can support their path, as twisted as it may be, you will be able to see your path supported, as twisted as it may be. Yeah. That allows love to be everywhere. You see, if you say that there's a wrong way, there's a wrong path, that path of those Muslim-hating people is wrong, well, that means that there's a place you can go to never be saved. And sin is real. Wait a minute.
Even that's a judgment to say those people who are condemning the Muslims are wrong. That's judging too.
Love is gone. Love is gone. Mm-hmm. Now there's a place that you can go where love is not. If you allow these thoughts to go. So that's what we're here to do, is to bust that kind of isolation and loneliness and to see love everywhere. See it everywhere.
And today's lesson for me was, there is only one love. So love will
come. Yes. Okay, just for the last 3 minutes, I want to take you back to paragraph 4. I'm moving my marker. So this is it for that paragraph.
This is a really good section.
Yeah.
What page are we on?
We're on page 413 in the text, and that we're talking about the obstacles to peace. And these are things that the ego does conveniently, because peace gets in the way of being really angry. And having a successful attack, peace is really inconvenient. You got to not be peaceful to do a good attack. And the ego would preach to you that. But then you'd want peaceful, so you'd lose in the whole goal. Okay? So peace is extended from you only to the eternal. And it reaches out from the eternal in you. Isn't that a beautiful definition of what you really are? An attribute that you really are. Elsewhere in the book, it says that love recognizes love. Of course, it speaks the same language. 413. 413, paragraph 4. Get this, number 2. Peace flows across all else. Other that's not eternal, peace flows right across it and actually ignores it. Because it's not real. It's not of real. It's not of love. The second obstacle, which is the idea of the belief in the body, is valuable for what the body offers. Seven obstacles no more solid than the first. And the first is, the first obstacle to peace, remember? The desire to get rid of peace. Which includes attraction to guilt. Yeah. Complex. Took us months to get through that. But it was good.
A happy year.
Yeah, really. For you want neither to get rid of peace nor limit it. I mean, you really don't. what are these obstacles that you would interpose between peace and pieces going forth, but they're barriers that you place between your will and its accomplishment? You really want peace. He's calling you out. He says, you want communion, not the feast of fear. You want salvation, not the pain of guilt. And you do want your Father. You say Father, you can say source if you're uncomfortable with that, that's fine. Not a little mound of clay, your body, to be your home. In your holy relationship is your Father's Son. In your holy relationship is your Father's Son. The Son of the Father, the child of the Father, is love. And a holy relationship is a manifestation of love. It is, and indeed, a selflessness represented by seeing, loosing the other from their self. Okay, can't go over all that right now because we're out of time. Okay. He has not lost communion, right? Your brother, okay, your father's son, has not lost communion with your father nor with himself. When you agree to join your brother, you acknowledge this, and this is so. Join is the key word here. To actually join your brother and not to have the substitute for joining, which is the special relationship.
It's the holy relationship.
The holy relationship is to see another's situation equal to your own. It's an amazing experience of sharing. We've all done it, sometimes by accident, sometimes on purpose, mostly by accident because you were caught in compassion. And you actually did want the other's well-being. Those moments are touching love.
When you want their highest good,
yes.
Even though it might not be what you want.
Yes.
That's a holy relationship.
That's a holy relationship.
Thinking about the yes. bigger picture, not yes. just what you want.
And then when you have that bigger picture and you actually want their well-being equal or even above your own, that powerful sense that burns
that's
in you.
That's a powerful feeling of love.
That's not a cost.
That's when you lose all costs.
That's when you lose cost. You got it. And that's the last sentence. Okay, I moved my marker. Let's have a circle.
That was beautiful, Andrew.
Yeah.
Good, good job.
Thank you.
Take a deep breath. And as you release that breath, let that release of that breath be like a launching point for you for the rest of your being to move into eternity. Because I promise you, you have never left. You've been dreaming of being in time, a little serial adventure in a small box, in a body, with the limits of time and space. You are a visitor. You are an eternal visitor to something called limit. You may be free right now, because you are free right now. I got bad news for you. You're not free tomorrow.
What?
Because tomorrow sucks, but it never comes.
The future never comes, so dark.
In this time when you think it's going to be tomorrow, if you just remember that you're free right now, as you are right now.
You'll be now.
You're going to be now. And you will experience freedom. You will experience eternal
the future never comes.
If you come right now. Always. Mm-hmm. The eternal is just waiting, because it's the truth. It's where your freedom is.
Just this moment, right
now. So
here,
I finally
right
got what you said.
Okay, good.
And that is, the now is always the now, and that's eternal. So whatever happens tomorrow, in human time,
yes,
is still eternal.
We'll find out when we get there.
That's it. Amen.
So I don't have to worry about time anymore.
You don't. You don't.
Not, because I don't understand that.
You can leave it in this room.
It's just a fantasy. That's
just
all.
Just take it off and leave it in this room. Walk off it out.
Nicely done, Luann.
That was
the
good.
Truth is now. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody. Good
luck. Yes, I'm sorry. You had
it. Can I get another question?
Most of them. What is? What is?
It's like, you know, what are you? I'm not going to go step in. I need to change.